Holy Spirit is better than wine. Avoid suicide, it's risky. Seeds die to grow. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for your loving kindness, and we thank you for our fellow Christians who can encourage us and comfort us and strengthen our hearts. Thank you for peace amongst our brothers and sisters, and the love, faith, joy and peace and grace that we can experience in our daily walk with you. Please teach us today to put your word into practice in our lives, in Jesus Christ's name. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Ephesians 6, 21-24, Amplified. Now, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know how we are and that we may comfort and encourage and strengthen your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love joined with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with undying and incorruptible love. This is basically Paul's ending of his letter to the saints in Ephesus, and it's full of his wishes to them of peace and grace and love and gratitude. And in the previous chapter, in Ephesians chapter 5, we get some wise advice in verses 15-21, TPT. So be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes, and don't live foolishly, for then you will have discernment to fully understand God's will. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is like putting fuel in a car. When a car comes off the manufacturing line, it is in very good condition. Everything is brand spanking new and it is very well oiled and everything like that. But until somebody puts fuel in the tank, it can't go anywhere. And that's how we are as Christians. We need the Holy Spirit in our tank to be able to cope with our daily walk. It doesn't mean everybody has to speak in tongues. There are different gifts, and that is a very useful one, a very useful praying tool, but it's just one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just like putting fuel into a car, you need to get topped up with the Holy Spirit regularly. It is not a once-off. The first time is an amazing experience, and it's all new and wow. But you need to keep your spiritual fuel tank full on an ongoing basis. So, yeah, the theme of love runs throughout the Bible because, you know, God is love. It says so in the letters of John, the beloved disciple. I remember he was not loved more than the other disciples. He just realized, he came to the realization that he was so loved and they were also loved. But he lived in the reality of the love that was freely given by Jesus to all of his disciples, and it is also given to all of us. But those of us who choose to recognize and experience and live in that love, life on planet Earth in these days where things are happening and it looks like end times are closer than ever, but his love is still the most important and most powerful entity, the most powerful force in this universe, known and unknown universe. And where the TPT says, out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love, the NKJV says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So whether you see it as submitting to one another or being supported of each other, it's basically the same idea. It's where you put other people's needs above your own, and the selfishness tank is always very low. TPT talks about being careful how you live, in KJV talks about living circumspectly. Circumspectly means cautiously, wisely, considering consequences and avoiding negative consequences. That's from Vocabulary Online. And the TPT talks of being drunk with wine as rebellion. And the NKJV talks about dissipation. And dissipation is overindulgence, a squandering of money, energy, or resources. That's from Oxford Languages Online. So while drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes and taking drugs is not a sin that you go to hell for, there are also unwise activities. And I'm not judging anybody who does these activities. Please don't get me wrong. If you are doing those activities, Jesus still loves you and he still wants you to turn to him and be his child. And he still wants you to draw closer to him and remain his child if you are already his child. Our scripture talks about comforting, encouraging, and strengthening our hearts. And a good way of doing this is through song or music. And this idea is spoken of in Psalm 33, verse 1 to 9, TPT. It's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all you redeemed ones, do it. Praise him with all you have, for praise looks lovely on the lips of God's devoted lovers. Play the guitar as you lift your praises loaded with thanksgiving. Sing and make joyous music with all you've got inside. Compose new melodies that release new praises to the Lord. Play his praises on instruments with the anointing and skill he gives you. Sing and shout with passion. Make a spectacular sound of joy, for God's word is something to sing about. He is true to his promises. His word can be trusted, and everything he does is reliable and right. The Lord loves seeing justice on the earth. Anywhere and everywhere you can find his faithful, unfailing love. All he had to do was speak by his spirit wind command, and God created the heavenlies. Filled with galaxies and stars, the vast cosmos he wonderfully made. His voice scooped out the seas. The ocean depths he poured into vast reservoirs. With breathtaking wonder, let everyone worship Yahweh, this awe-inspiring creator. He breathed words, and worlds were birthed. Let there be, and there it was. Springing forth the moment he spoke, no sooner said than done. So for centuries, people have had ample reason to thank and praise and worship our beautiful, loving Creator, our Heavenly Father God. And even when things go wrong, as they sometimes do, we can look forward to God's grace, as shown in Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 3, TPT. Listen to me, you who chase after righteousness, you who passionately pursue the Lord. Look back to Abraham, the rock from which you were cut, to Sarah, the quarry from which you were dug, and remember what I did for them. Yes, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For when I called Abraham, he was but one person, but I blessed him greatly, so that one became many. Indeed, Yahweh will comfort Zion, restore her, and comfort all her broken places. He will transform her wilderness into the garden of bliss, her desert into the garden of Yahweh. Joy and laughter will fill the air with thanksgiving and joyous melodies. Now, not everyone has a perfect singing voice, not everyone is musically talented, but everyone can worship and sing and make a joyful noise to our beautiful Heavenly Father, our beautiful Redeemer Jesus, and our beautiful Holy Spirit. There is no reason why anybody needs to stay silent. This is not a talent show. This is an expression of our deep-seated, heartfelt gratitude and love from the bottom of our hearts. In fact, love is almost too mild a word. It's adoration. We adore and worship and glorify and magnify our beautiful heavenly family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the scripture from Isaiah, it speaks about Abraham, who was one and who became many. That's through the promise of God through Isaac. And Jesus was similarly one who became many. In John 12, verse 24, in KJV, Jesus himself said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." So there Jesus is highlighting the fact that he did not have to die. He did not need to die. He had not sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they fell foul of the instruction which God gave, that was, do not eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, or you will die. And Jesus did not sin in any way, so he did not have to die. But he chose to lay his life down so that he could die in our place, so that we could live forever in spite of having broken God's perfect law of love. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3, verse 21 to 24 in KJV. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So none of us deserve it to get eternal life, but those of us who believe in Jesus and accept his free gift, his free ticket, so to say, we are the ones that will enjoy the benefit of eternal life, even though we don't deserve it, even though we have done things that fly in the face of the beautiful, perfect holiness, the perfection of God. Now, our salvation isn't just for fun. It is for a purpose. We have been born for a time such as this, just like Esther was in her day. We are facing times that we were predestined to face. By predestined, I mean God knew the choices we would make, and that's when he predestined us. Please don't go with those people that say that predestination means God picked an arbitrary bunch of people to go to heaven and another arbitrary bunch of people to go to hell. It doesn't work that way. People who go to heaven are those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master, as their Savior, as their Redeemer, as the only way to be able to enter into the presence of our loving Heavenly Father, our holy, loving Heavenly Father. John the Baptist was one such person that was born for a reason in his day, and we hear about him in John 3, verse 26 to 36, TPT. So they went to John and asked him, Teacher, are you aware that the one you told us about at the crossing place, he is now baptizing crowds larger than yours? People are flocking to him. John answered, A person cannot receive even one thing unless God bestows it. You've heard me tell you that I am not the Messiah, but certainly I am the messenger sent ahead of him. He is the bridegroom, and the bride belongs to him. I am the friend of the bridegroom, who stands nearby and listens with great joy to the bridegroom's voice. Because of his words, my joy is complete and overflows. It is necessary for him to increase and for me to decrease. For the one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks from the natural realm. But the one who comes from above is above everything and speaks of the highest realm of all. His message is about what he has seen and experienced, even though people don't accept it. Yet those who embrace his message know in their hearts that it is the truth. The one whom God has sent to represent him will speak the words of God, because God has poured out upon him the fullness of the Holy Spirit without limitation. The Father loves his Son so much that he has given all things into his hands. Those who trust in the Son possess eternal life. Those who don't obey the Son will not see life, and God's anger will rise up against them. So we don't do any dramatic preaching about fire and brimstone of hell, but it does exist, and those who reject Jesus will experience it, unfortunately. Those of us who choose to accept the free gift of salvation from our loving Redeemer, we are saints, because that's what a born-again person can be called. And we have the privilege of putting our flesh to death every day. Jesus said it himself in Luke 9, verse 23 in KJV. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So being a Christian is not for sissies, just like paddling the berg is not for sissies. And I've heard growing old is not for sissies either, but I wouldn't know about that yet. I'm not old. And this is summed up very neatly in Philippians 1, verse 20 to 21, TPT. No matter what, I will continue to hope and passionately cling to Christ, so that he will be openly revealed through me before everyone's eyes. So I will not be ashamed. In my life or in my death, Christ will be magnified in me. My true life is the Anointed One, and dying means gaining more of him. So we have this inattention that we are living on planet Earth to serve our Redeemer and spread his love around to as many people as possible so that we can take as many people with us to heaven as possible. That's why we continue to keep on living day by day. But if we were to die physically, we would then be in that beautiful place where we see Jesus face to face and we don't have that buffer zone between us and heaven. And that is beautiful, but I would caution people who are believers who are contemplating suicide. Suicide is murder of yourself, and God says, do not kill. So if you kill yourself and the last act you did was a sin, then I'm not sure where you'd land up. I'm not saying that people who have committed suicide have definitely gone to hell, but I'm just asking, is it worth the risk? So please do not take a chance on that rather risky thing. And it's actually slapping God's face, because he knows how much you can handle. He knows who you need to influence, and he knows who will be so greatly blessed by bumping into you along life's highway. Like the old story of the Pilgrim's Progress, our life was likened to a journey along a road and coming upon different experiences, different people, different feelings and situations. But God was with that pilgrim every step of the way. And in the end, it was worth it because of that beautiful, beautiful gift of eternal life that is so glorious we can't even imagine it. So please stay strong. Hang in there. Keep on keeping on, because God has a purpose for you, whether you like it or not. So if that sounds harsh, it's not. It's encouraging, because when we feel down in the dumps, when we feel at the end of our tether, that's when we need to know that God is holding us in his everlasting arms, and he has us in his almighty hands. And there's a saying that goes, God's got this. God doesn't get surprised by the storms and circumstances that rage around us. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the author and finisher of our faith. The author is the one that started it, that wrote it out from nothing, that gave it to you. Remember, he gives each person a measure of faith. That's in Romans 12, verse 3, NKJV. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, okay, that verse applies to people who are a bit snobbish and think they're the greatest thing since powdered milk, but it can also apply the other way around, where a person might think, well, I haven't got enough faith to do this or to go through this or to handle this, but you do, because God has given it to you. So, whether we live or die, while we are living, we continue to shine our lights.